Committee on Economic Development and Tourism will come to order. Chandra, please call the roll.
Chair Trujillo.
Present.
Vice Chair Porter.
Here.
Representatives Albritton. Anton. Cumbie.
Here.
Dentil.
Here.
Eagle.
Here.
Hudson.
Here.
Hudson.
Here.
Reed.
Here.
Rogers.
Here.
Smith.
Here.
Watson. Excused. You have a quorum.
The quorum is present. I will ask everyone to please turn off your cell phones. If you wish to speak at today's meeting, please fill out an appearance card. Today, we have three PCBs on the agenda, two related to the Division of Emergency Management, and one PCB related to General Economic Development. Rep. Eagle, you're recognized to present PCB EDTS 14-01.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, this is the PCB we briefly reviewed last week from the Department of Emergency Management. Currently, through their Get a Plan program, they are encouraging members of our citizens of the state, businesses, families, entities to submit personal private information in order to get a plan for hurricane preparedness. This bill would exempt that information from public records requests, make it private, and this is First Amendment Foundation has taken a neutral position on this specific bill. That is the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Great. There are no amendments on this bill. Are there any questions on this bill? Any questions? Anybody from the audience wishes to speak? Great. We need an appearance card. Yep. Anyone else? Seeing none, Representative Eagle, you recognize to close on your bill.
Wave close.
Thank you, Chairman. Please call the roll.
Chair Trujillo?
Yes.
Vice Chair Porter?
Yes.
Representatives Albritton? Anton?
Yes.
Cumbie?
Yes.
Dentil?
Yes.
Eagle?
Yes.
Hudson?
Yes.
Hudson?
Yes.
Reed?
Yes.
Rogers?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Show that bill reported favorably. We'll now move on to PCB 14-03 by Representative Hudson. Representative Hudson, you're recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. 14-03 is also a bill that we workshopped last week. There is one change from the workshop with the reemployment assistance installment plans. As we workshop this, several members had discussed, instead of making it from 2014 to 2018, making it permanent. So that is the change that's in here. That is the bill, Mr. Chair, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for Representative Hudson? Seeing none, we'll move on. Oh, yes, I'm sorry. Representative Castro-Dentil, you're recognized.
All right. Thank you, Chair. I have a question about the revolving loan programs. Maybe that I'm new to this, but does the state government normally do loan programs?
Mr. Chair?
Yes, you're recognized.
Thank you, sir. I'm new to this, too, but from my understanding, yes, the state government has been doing these loan programs for quite some time.
Follow-up?
Yes.
Recognized.
What if the borrower defaults on their loans?
You recognize, Representative.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to defer to either staff or the Department of Economic Opportunity for this.
We'll recognize Ryan to answer this question.
Representative, there are different instances. Statutes spell out for each individual program. What happens in the event of a default? In some instances, the loan administrator will forward whatever funds have been received back to the department to be placed either in general revenue or the funds from which they came. But it varies from program to program, and the department may be able to better answer the specifics with each program.
Okay, follow up.
Yes, you're recognized.
And maybe if there's someone here from DEO, they can answer this, but why are we taking on this risk?
That's a question that DEO can't answer. That would be a policy question that would be left to the committee.
All right, follow up.
Recognized.
So is this a risk that we want to get involved in?
That would be a better question suited for debate. You have questions asked to the bill as it's presented before you.
That's all.
Representative Rogers, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can you explain
the type of loans that we're going to be giving? Is there a minimum, a maximum as to the type of loans, and what category of businesses will be applying for these loans?
Representative Hudson, you're recognized.
Yes, again, I'll defer to staff just so I'm not dealing with the technical stuff and speaking out of turn here.
I'll recognize Ryan West, Policy Chief.
Representative Rogers, again, it varies from program to program. For instance, in the Economic Gardening Business Loan Pilot Program, loans would be for 4 years. They are capped at $250,000. Businesses have to meet certain requirements to qualify for the loans. For that program in particular, you need to be a Florida-based business that's been incorporated for at least 2 years. You need to be a qualified targeted industry pursuant to the state's list. And those particular loans specifically are designed for what they call stage two companies, which would still be considered a small business, but are positioned to have growth potential so that maybe they turn into something that's not so small of a business anymore. The Rural Community Revolving Loan Program is more designed to provide loans to rural areas. That is a revolving loan program whereby if loans are made and for rural projects, in that instance, loan administrators are actually allowed to keep the interest payments, and if matched by a private contribution, can roll that into a subsequent economic development project. It varies from program to program. The other one that's been affected is the Black Business Loan Program. Typically, DEO will make they will disperse funds to loan administrators who will then find black businesses that qualify for financing and otherwise are healthy companies but may have trouble finding what we've seen through the Great Recession is banks are making fewer and fewer microloans to small businesses. That's what it's designed for. Those loans also vary by amount. That program is structured so that when DEO gets the disbursement, they make equal disbursements of the funds they have available for each recipient of the loans.
Follow up, Mr. Chair.
To recognize, Representative.
Thank you. How much money are we looking to put into this loan program, this budget cycle?
Ryan, if you have the answer to that question.
That would be, thank you, Chairman. That is an appropriation decision that's usually made on a yearly basis. Some of the revolving loan programs themselves were able to start with sort of an initial appropriation, and as they make revolving loans, the payments and interest payments are sustaining the funds. I believe the Black Business and Loan Program is subject to a yearly appropriation, and that would be a decision that would be made by the legislature in a subsequent time.
Thank you.
Representative Anton, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just kind of a quick question. Does this section 4, apply to existing loan programs or unannounced loan programs?
Representative Hudson, you're recognized.
Yeah, and before I answer that question, I think I might be able to clear a lot of this stuff up with some of the other questions. We're talking about with these loan programs, this is stuff that's already been established. It's been in place. All we're doing is trying to tighten some of the regulations and rules up so that we can be a better accountable for those that are out there. From my understanding, it's both. It's what's existing and what's going to be in the future.
Follow up. Recognize.
Thank you. And so then the last question on this section. For loan programs that do not exist yet, would the legislature have to approve any new revolving loan programs?
Yes, from my understanding.
Yep. I think Ryan's going to interject for a small informative piece.
Representative Antone, these changes apply only to loan programs in Chapter 288 that are directly administered by the Department of Economic Opportunity. There are other loan programs, both within and without that chapter, that will not be affected by these changes.
Any other questions? Representative Rogers, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to take us back to the concurrency and proportionate share, that impact fee.
Yes.
And why do we deem it necessary to have that in this bill?
Representative Hudson, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. When we were doing the workshop of this bill, there were ideas that were kind of sparked to help small businesses out. One of the problems with small businesses when they try and start up is the fee structure that's set in place on them, where a normal or a larger business can take on those fees. These smaller businesses have sometimes struggle and have problems with those fees when they go through the concurrency process. Some of the counties and cities back home may even waive those fees when deemed necessary. So this is, again, just what we've thought is a relief for small business, and it puts the message back in Florida that, you know, if you're a small business, come here, and we're not going to pound you with fees and regulations. We're open for business, and we hope you want to come, you know, to our state.
Hold on, Mr. Chair.
You're recognized, Representative.
Currently, does cities currently have that opportunities? Counties or cities currently have that authority to waive or to assess the fees? Is that a local option currently?
Representative, recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. From my understanding, yes. I don't know if it goes to the point of a majority rule, which we have in this, or if it's a simple county administrative rule that the county manager can do it, but I believe they have some flexibility to do what they want with those fees right now.
Okay, I'll move from that topic, Mr. Chair, and move on.
Yes.
All right, thank you. As it relates to good on small communities, the community development block grant, that's a good thing. So this bill does have some good components to it.
I'm glad
okay.
to hear that.
Thank you. As it relates to Space Florida, why is it necessary for us to put into law that Space Florida should have consultation with Visit Florida as it relates to their marketing plan? Why is it necessary to be in law?
Representative Hudson, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Actually, currently how it's being done at the time is Visit Florida is working with Space Florida, and we're just trying to clarify that in statute so that they can work together.
So they're out of compliance with laws, or what is it that we're trying to fix?
I believe what Representative Hudson said, we're codifying it. They're currently doing it. We're just putting it in statute saying that they will work together and continue to work together.
One last question.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The Revenue Estimating Conference did not assess or affix an estimate as to the cost for all of this that we are currently doing. When will we have that information so we are fully educated on what we're doing here?
Representative, that'll be decided through the appropriations process. If the appropriations committees decide not to fund any of these projects, it will obviously not have a fiscal impact. If they decide to fund them, they'll have a fiscal impact, but that cannot be decided by this committee. That would have to take place through the appropriations process.
Follow up.
You're recognized.
So we can have a PCB that might have a fiscal and don't have know what the fiscal might be.
As of right, I'm sorry, Representative, I interrupted you.
No, I'm just saying when we're discussing the bill, we are making a decision without having all of the information that may be pertinent information.
Like most bills that have fiscal impacts, some of them will be indeterminate depending on funding. So as of right now, there's no fiscal because it hasn't been funded. If it is funded in the future, it will have a fiscal. Any follow-up questions? We have various appearance cards from members of the public. The first one is from Space Florida Government Relations Coordinator Stan Ferran.
Stan Ferran.
Thank you. Our next one is Eric Poole, Florida Association of Counties.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, Eric Poole for the Florida Association of Counties. I just want to, for the record, indicate that we appreciate the intent that's in the economic development provisions of this bill. There are just about virtually any economic development proposal that comes through this body, your local government partners will support. But last year, you had similar language dealing with transportation impact fees and concurrency. We were unable to support that provision last year, and we, again, this year, are unable to support that provision. But we appreciate the efforts and the intent of this bill. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Eric. Charles Patterson, Thousand Friends of Florida. He's the president.
Thank
you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Charles Patterson, President of 1000 Friends of Florida. We were with the cities and the counties last year in opposing the same provision that Mr. Poole just spoke about. We do think local governments should have the option, and they currently do, to either not have transportation concurrency, reduce impact fees, or waive impact fees. We think, though, that ought to be a local government decision, not a one-size-fits-all that comes from Tallahassee. We know there are very good parts of the bill, and we'd like to work with the committee to improve that. Thank you.
Thank you. Bill Wilson, Director of Legislative Affairs, Department of Economic Opportunity.
Mr. Chair, Bill Wilson, Department of Economic Opportunity.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson. Justin Thames, Government Affairs Manager, Florida Institute of CPAs.
Mr. Chairman, Committee, Justin Thames, the Florida Institute of CPAs. You know, we understand that the department and Representative Hudson have worked hard on this legislation as well as the committee, and that, you know, it's important in Florida's tax dollars to be accurately accounted for by the administration of these loan programs. However, the FICPA, as it's currently written, would be opposed to the language in this bill that would include a statutorily requirement for audit firm rotation. Now, this is not specific to the loan programs. This is a long-standing policy of the Institute. So we've spoken to the bill sponsor and to the department, and we're very confident that we can come to some kind of agreeable solution to this issue. We really appreciate the Representative Hudson, the department, for working with us on this, and I appreciate the time.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Next, we have David Cruz, Assistant General Counsel, Florida League of Cities.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. David Cruz with the Florida League of Cities. I want to thank Representative Hudson and Chairman Trujillo for taking the time to meet with me to discuss some of the provisions of the bill. This summer, the Florida League of Cities adopted two priorities that I think are addressed in this bill. The first priority was to support revisions to the Community Development Block Grant Program. We worked tirelessly with representatives from the department, especially Bill Wilson, meeting with our members to discuss language that would revise this program to a way that the cities were happy with. And for that, I would thank Representative Hudson and representatives from the department for including those revisions in the bill. Another priority that the League of Cities adopted was to support economic development incentives for small businesses. We think small businesses are the backbone of our economy. Several of our smaller cities don't have large businesses, but they have many small businesses located inside of those cities. When the economy is doing well at a local level, our cities are doing well, and so obviously it's I think we have a common goal in supporting small businesses. However, the provisions dealing with impact fees and transportation concurrency, the League of Cities does not support. We've had discussions with Representative Hudson on this topic. We feel that the 2011 growth management legislation that passed allowed cities to have the option to charge concurrency or not. So we currently have the ability to charge concurrency or not. So some of our cities have taken it upon themselves not to charge concurrency, to allow some businesses to move into the city, not charge them any fees to get them up and running, and encourage new jobs to be created. Some of our cities have looked at that same proposal and decided not to go that route because of the cost associated with providing the necessary infrastructure for those businesses. Unfortunately, what would then happen is the costs associated with a new structure being created might get passed down the road. They might get passed down to a big business. They might get passed down to our residents, and we would not like to see that. And those are the decisions that can be made at a local level currently. We already have the authority to make those decisions, and we would like to work with Representative Hudson to see if we could address those in the future. We definitely support the Small City Community Development Block Grant Program provisions in the bill and look forward to working with all of you.
Thank you, David.
Thank you.
Next, we have Keith Burnside, Development Administrator, City of Tallahassee.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I appreciate the opportunity to speak. And thank you for all your work on economic development incentives. The City of Tallahassee appreciates any ability to promote economic development, especially for small businesses. As you know, Tallahassee is made up of small businesses. We don't have a lot of large private businesses. Specifically with for the concurrency and proportionate share and mobility fee portion of the bill, we would be opposed for a few things. One, we do think we have tools in place thanks to the 2011 legislation and earlier provisions, and we have implemented some of them. And I just wanted to give you a very brief summary of some of the things we've done, and other local governments have certainly done things as well. But speaking of Tallahassee, we've implemented more flexible level of service standards in our urban core area. We wanted to provide exemptions similar to what this would do, but we wanted it to focus on the area we thought that was suitable for more growth without having to pay bills. So in an 18-square-mile area of Tallahassee, we implemented very flexible level of service standards such that most development does not pay currently and hasn't since 2009. The growth along Gaines Street has taken advantage of that you might see all the new residential growth around FSU and Florida A&M and Tallahassee Community College has taken advantage of that, as well as other programs. We also implemented, with our flexibility, an exemption process that exempted or reduced concurrency by 75% for individual developments with City Commission approval in exchange for providing additional site amenities such as enhanced landscaping, enhanced energy efficiency, bicycle facilities, and things like that. And we found the developers really liked that. It gave them a site that had long-term attractiveness by enhancing the landscaping, and in exchange they got concurrency relief. We approved 15 projects for that so far and reduced what would have been collected from all of those projects of a combined $6.4 million. We collected $1.7 million instead, so a $4.7 million savings. And that applied to projects as small as 3,000 square foot fast food restaurants all the way up to some projects at Summit East totaling 840,000 square feet. Summit East is at the corner of I-10 and Mahan. Something else is an arbitrary size restriction doesn't really reflect the traffic generating potential of a development. A 5,000 or 6,000 square foot church generates very little traffic. A 5,000 or 6,000 square foot fast food restaurant generates quite a bit. So we would prefer to implement exemptions that are fair to all, even among small developments that are fair among certain sizes. And then speaking on the fairness issue, we hear that a lot from our more medium-sized and larger developers, that any relief that we provide to the small ones gets passed up the line to larger developments. And that is true, especially when we look at mobility fees, which we are embarking on. We have to analyze what the total cost of improvements will be and spread that out amongst traffic that will be on the roads. And so if we are providing exemptions, then we do have to move that cost to other areas. And thank you very much for the opportunity to speak.
Representative Cumby, recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Really just a question, trying to understand the logic behind trading off, concurrency for enhanced landscaping, how that would help, traffic. If the idea is to try to make sure that we've got capacity there and we can move people around town, how does trading off with enhanced landscaping solve any problem?
Exactly. I understand your point, and developers could not just do enhanced landscaping. They had to provide a series of things. Enhanced landscaping was one, and it was one which most developers chose to do. In exchange, they did have to provide some things that were strictly traffic-oriented, such as bicycle and pedestrian facilities. We had developers that provided wider sidewalks in front of their developments than would otherwise be done, more bike racks, things like that. Thank you, Perry.
Thank you. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Next, we have Leticia Adams, Senior Policy Director, Florida Chamber of Commerce.
Mr. Chairman, committee. Florida Chamber, we understand that this is definitely a PCB. It's in its infancy. It's got a lot of different ideas and some really great ideas in it. A couple of them that we like them all, but one that I especially want to point out is the Reemployment Assistance Installment Plan. When you made the change in 2010, we loved it then. We're a huge fan of making it permanent. Also love the changes regarding giving additional flexibility to reflect the diverse communities in rural areas for the CDBG program. And unlike a few others in the room, we are actually fans of the concurrency and prop share portion of the bill. This is a small window of 3 years. This is commercial. And although we're talking about the difference of 5,000 or 6,000 square feet and what that business may be, there are provisions still in, as I understand, in this PCB that allow the local government to revoke the 3-year window for if that business doesn't suit that local community's needs, then they have the ability to do that. We like the bill. We look forward to seeing it progress. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else from the audience wishing to speak? Seeing none, members will now move on to debate. Anybody wishing to debate the bill? Representative Smith, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. First of all, let me say this is an outstanding bill. I love what we've done with the reemployment and listening to businesses and doing everything we can to help them grow. A concern that I have is the impact fee, the concurrency, because within my district, both the counties have sat down, worked through this process, made their decisions on the rules for it. And as much as I am one for getting rid of impact fees, I also want to make sure that we're playing fair balance to our local communities. So with that, I have concern about that specific portion.
Representative Anton, you're recognized.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. First of all, I think you have a great bill. But I would like to work with you as this bill moves forward to try to address the cities and the counties' concerns regarding impact fees and concurrency. So I'm hoping that we can work out some kind of language that will address that concerns. But I think it's a great bill.
Representative Rogers, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I, too, have very good feelings about this bill, like most of the provisions. But as always, if it's not broken, why is there a need for a fix, especially in that component as it relates to impact fees, transportation? Because coming from local government, I know what we do. We use that as incentives in the areas that we deemed that we need to be focused on. And that is a local option. That is the community's needs. And yes, of course, whenever a commission has to make a decision, there are costs associated with that too, because you have to do a public hearing. You have to go through all of that and put it in the newspaper whenever you're changing anything to make sure the public participates. So not everything is free of cost. But if it's not broken, that component should not be in this great bill. And I think we can work on that. So I look forward to hearing from the League of Cities and the county as to whether or not there's still an open door policy and there's still an opportunity for us to work that area through. So looking forward to working with you. Thank you.
Great. Any further debate?
Yeah.
Representative Hudson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I apologize for last week when I had to leave to go present another bill, so I missed the workshop portion of this bill. But I actually, as fate would have it, it seemed like a good time to not be in the basement last week for this meeting, frankly. But there was a question made in the questioning period related to the fiscal impact of this bill. This is a policy subcommittee. It is appropriate for us and the role of this committee to vet and determine whether the policy is right for Floridians. When it moves up the process to appropriations, we'll determine what resources are available to be able to apply to those policy decisions that you deem to be appropriate at the policy committee level. And so it's important that we remember the role of the committees and make sure that we're focused on policy so that we can focus on the dollars at subsequent stops. I think this is a very good bill. I think it does an awful lot of different things, a lot of moving parts in this bill, Representative Hudson, well done. But I think that we just need to keep focused on the ball here.
Thank you. Any further debate? Representative Castor-Dental.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to echo what some of my colleagues have mentioned about this bill. There's a lot of great aspects to it, but I do have a concern with the impact fees and concurrency fees for our local governments. So I hope that we can work on that aspect of this bill as it moves forward. Thanks.
Thank you. Any further debate? Seeing none, Representative Hudson, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'll be brief. First off, thank you, staff and committee, for helping put this bill together. I think we've all done a great job. As it relates to impact fees, I've worked with the League of Cities even last year when House Bill 321 was going on, and I think they can agree that we've been very kind in bringing the bill down to a very smaller package and call it more lenient package, giving them the option with a 50% to overturn it and also sunsetting it at 3 years. And I'll continue to work with them, but I think, when you hear some of them speak, where they said they've already done this and offered incentives with simple majority rule, at the same time, they can easily get rid of this with simple majority rules. So while I will continue to work with them, I think we're being as kind as possible, and I look forward to your guys' favorable support. Thank you.
Thank you. Chandra, please call the roll.
Chair Trujillo?
Yes.
Vice Chair Porter?
Yes.
Representative Albritton? Anton?
Yes.
Cumbie?
Yes.
Dental?
Yes.
Eagle?
Yes.
Hudson?
Yes.
Hudson?
Yes.
Reed?
Yes.
Rogers?
No.
Smith?
Yes.
Shall that bill report it favorably? If there's no further business before the committee, Representative Eagle moves we rise.